Okay, hello everyone. We are being recorded now. We are live and we're together on this 19th day of January. It's a wonderful day to be and a wonderful place to be with each other. I'm so happy you're here. And Nancy, happy you're here too in a special way.
I'm happy to be here too. I think that noise you were hearing was a birthday party in the other room. We've got Zoe is 3 tomorrow and Isla 5, and so the festivities are kind of out there. So when everybody heard all that noise, that's what's going on.
Well, that's fine. That's great. We love birthdays here.
We are part of life and the living over here. That's for sure.
Oh, you sure are. My goodness, and just putting out new buds every season.
Right.
And blooms and beautiful girls.
Thank you.
And some little boys. We'll bring them out. Okay.
Well, we're so happy to be here. And oh, gosh, all these gals and guys are coming online. This is beautiful. So we're going to have a wonderful call today, Glenda. And such a good subject, too. The last element of the elements of existence that we're studying together. So this is pretty wonderful. But, you know, connecting all the dots.
This won't be the end of our study, but it needed to come in third place. And I'll get into why in just a couple of minutes. I just wanted to give everyone time who's coming for the story. The study, time to get here. And also, I just want to embrace you all with a big hug. Thank you for showing up, not just here, but into life with positive expectation, hope, charity, a spirit of sharing, and a spirit of creating that is contagious. I don't know if you know it is, but it is. A few people may not like what you suggest because it wouldn't be what they would create. And they might prefer you to use your creative energies in a different way. Well, you just got to let them have their attitude because that's all it is. You know, what we have to understand is that we are given the right to create our own experience of life, experience of reality. But God is the creator of reality. Everything, you're not going to change the composition of that mountain out your window. Now, with enough faith, you could say, come here, and the mountain will come here. It will utilize. Let me make this really clear. It will utilize laws of the universe and composition to allow you to command it. But it's not going to break the laws of God. It will still be made out of silica, iron, clay, or whatever else has composed the soil of that mountain. It will still be rising up from the land. It will still be holding the same vibrations of gravity, but it will come to accommodate your life the way you need it to be. I think in some ways that passage that of teaching that Yeshua gave the apostles is one of the most elevated and reassuring passages in the whole New Testament about who we are chosen to be. We were created to be, at least according to Genesis, to live in a likeness of God. Okay, well, what does likeness mean? Well, likeness could be a photograph. Likeness could be a portrait painted of you. Our sons and daughters may bear some likeness to you. in other words, perpetuating the similarity into another dimension. That's really what likeness means. And we had that. We were given that from the beginning. But not everybody used it in a creative, positive way. I'm just looking for the most positive word I could pull out of the box. And I got redundant. But still, it works. Okay. But what Yeshua was talking about was something else. He wasn't talking about it in the likeness of God. He was talking about being a son or daughter of God. That's why he had to come to give us our next role model as a son of God. Because our role model now is not likeness of God. Our role likeness of God could be any of a lot of varieties of what that meant, could mean, and did mean for different people. Son of God, translated into son or daughter of God, means something very, very powerful, very, very more important. He changed your role and elevated it. And that teaching to the apostles was really affirmed by another statement he made teaching. Whatsoever I do, you shall do and more. And that is in the fullness of your coming into being. That's said a little bit in different words, in different translations, but that's exactly what it meant. In your fulfillment, you will be able to do whatever I do and more. Okay, that's being a child of God, not a likeness of God. I hope you see that, because you have been given very, very special powers, but why we don't accept them is largely because we don't want to accept the responsibility that goes along with it. We don't actually believe it's possible. And so what you believe is what is possible. And what you don't believe will be impossible. Okay? So this is what we're dealing with in the aftermath of his life and his teachings. And we're at the point, 2,000 years later, where we're facing some very, very critical encounters, decisions, and pathways of choice, moving into a future that hardly resembles where people were 1,000 years ago. We can't trace back much further than really about the Renaissance or the birthing of modern science. We just really can't get there. One of the reasons that I chose to put a study of the adamantine particles into a later sequence of our study after the One Spirit and after Love is Who You Are, which also includes Love is Who God is and who created everything that is. Because we can include love and spirit inside the many different theologies that have developed around the world in all the cultures. They all seem to have some common denominator of these two things, some expression of spirituality, some expression of love. Now, it may just be love of tribe or love of family, or hopefully love of God, but not in all cases are these religions toward moving toward a one God concept. Some of them are still quite polytheistic or pantheistic, which is just the way that civilization has stayed in place and continued to explain life. What Yeshua brought to me was a heightened explanation of life that was so far beyond what we had ever considered that it reached really quite deeply into the latest scientific research and prognosis for new theory and new discovery and management of our universe as we know it. And I felt I needed to prep you with that as to why. You might think, well, shouldn't that have been the easiest? No. If you took it in a shallow way, yes. But not if you're going to take it as far as I'm going to take you on this pathway. Yeshua said there are three great powers in this universe, second only to the primal power of God, the creator of it all. So at the top level of all power is, of course, God, the divine, the one and only source of this universe. And he created through three special powers. And I really want to clarify for you not only what these powers are, but why they're considered to be above the others. Because obviously, there's the power of light. Clearly, there's the power of gravity or electricity or any of the other common combinations of elements that can create quite a powerful effect. On top of which is the power of nature, which is incredibly powerful, and the power of our planet. We've seen her many displays of power recently. And so why am I not including those? Well, they are included because they are composites of the three major powers. Now, in order to understand what makes these three major powers the powers, we're going to have to back up just a little bit, but this will be the last step. In the beginning, there was nothing but God. And in that void, which is actually called a void because it was an area of existence, which in those times could not be seen and was not yet ready to be revealed. And God spoke. We don't know exactly what the words were, but we know that he had a plan, and he spoke the plan. And the first specific command he made was, let there be light. Apparently, in the void, it was dark. It was a dark field. And he said, turn on the lights. And from the light, then, everything else was created. Much of what is in the, pardon me, what is really much in the, I'm trying to get back to my keyboard. Okay, what was in the book of Genesis is metaphorical. I'm not going to say that it's anything but true. I believe it is totally true, but told in metaphorical language, abbreviated language that primitive man could understand and that could encapsulate the truth of existence in a brief form. In many ways, it's no different than a modern theory. Whether it's Einstein or someone else, Einstein's theory, basic theory of energy, was E, meaning energy, equals mc squared. Well, that's a mathematical metaphor. It's no different than let there be light. It's an abbreviated way to explain the way things are. And when the original knowledge was revealed, well, it was revealed to people who didn't really have much developed mental capacity to understand the intricacy of what was being contained within the metaphors. Okay, now having been said that, let's go back to the void. The void was empty, except for God. And he stirred in the voice until he caused something to manifest. He laid his own energy and words upon the void. And everything came from it. Everything. You see, after light, the next thing that came was the firmament. And I wondered for years, and actually decades, what does firmament mean? So I finally looked it up. You can't look it up in Webster's, because Webster's will just refer you back to that chapter of Genesis. You know, and then you'll go in one circle after another circle. You can't find it in a scientific text because it's not used to describe anything scientific. So I just went around and I asked Yeshua, I said, what is firmament? And he said, that which is. How simple, that which is. Okay. And actually, we could be saying that all the time instead of this little catchphrase we use. Well, it is what it is. In slanguage, we're saying that constantly. And what we really mean is there's a fundamental underpinning to everything. And that fundamental underpinning is the firmament. So he made sure that was there. He made sure life was there to work with. Then the firmament was there. Okay, now that's an important transition, everybody, because what we went from is pure potential that existed in the void to basic material upon which the quantitative universe would be created. So we went in two steps, one to light, probably so he could see what he was doing. If I was going to create a painting, I'd tell somebody, would you turn on the lights, please? But he made light an integral part of everything he did create, so it was more significant than my little whimsy. Anyway, when the firmament was set, that meant now we have two divisions of reality, two divisions of existence. One is called potential, and the other is called manifestation. Those two have continued to exist since the moment God spoke. They have never ceased. They're still there. You can look at, they're there. The firmament is all written up into the chart of chemical existence, into every scientific equation and every mathematical equation, because it's the whole basis for quantity. Quantities did not exist in the void. You cannot measure a void. You cannot weigh a void. You cannot determine its density or what is possible in it. and yet it exists. This is what quantum science is studying. How do we make this quantum field work for us? And they had to admit somewhere along the line, its preferable name would be the zero point field, because it's unmeasurable, it's unweighable, it's uncontrollable. It just is. But they've gone a little further than that. And one of the reasons they have gone further than that is because of the three great powers that sew together these two divisions of existence. No less than a seamstress would put two parts of a blouse together and run the sewing seam over it. That seam is created out of spirit, which infuses both sides of the universe, both sides of existence, with commonality. It infuses itself into everything, and it's not somewhere else. See, I needed you to see that first. It's here. It's in you. It's around you. It carries you from yesterday to today to tomorrow. The other is love. What would have impelled the divine creator to have broken the peaceful ambience of timeless existence to create something? He wanted something to love. It's really as simple as that. That's why, in the last stage of creation, he created his future children because he wants somebody to love. Sure, he's loved all of his various creations, but he also walked away from all of them. They were done. He looked them over and he said, "This is good. Okay, let's go on to the next thing." You know? And it's exactly what he did. But when he had created us, he went to rest. It's like, okay, I can go back to rest because now I'm not alone. You're that important to him. You're really, really that important to him. He could go back to rest because he had you. Now, love emerged from the Creator. It did not exist in the void, but because he was in the void, it then filled the void. As it filled the void, it inspired all other creation to come into potential form and to manifest its potential and become whatever it could be. So love sews together on the other side of the garment, love. And it creates a seamless unity. So now you've got a blouse with a back and two sides. You got to join them somehow with buttons down the center. How are you going to do that? You've got to create a means for them to interact. On one side are the buttonholes. On the other side are the buttons. But they have a place for each other, and they belong to each other. And he allowed us to have the right and the freedom to button and unbutton things in our life according to our choice. We now have a coat to wear. or a blouse or whatever you would like to think of in your mind as the appropriate metaphor for what I've just described. We have now two parts of existence, and they are put together to create one absolutely phenomenal universe. These two parts of existence are the quantitative field and the quantum field, meaning unmeasurable. Okay. Now, right now, as far as we know, from reports of all quantum physicists and scientists, the measurable part of material reality comprises only 2% of the total potential. Well, I think that's fitting, considering the potential once was endless, trackless, without density, without shape, without form. Now, it's something that can be observed, and we observe it through our spiritual life. We observe it through our love, because what we love comes to us. Have you noticed that? Okay. What loves us will attract us. I hope you've noticed that too. And we use these particles in more ways than you can imagine. And that's what we're going to talk about and focus on in this class today. I'll make a little few additional remarks because I really have to do is I skipped around just a little bit because the chapter is long and we can't recite it all here. We would be working on this book for probably 2 years if I recited it all and studied every paragraph. And I don't think that's the best use of our time, because we also have to anchor our study of blessings into the way life is for us and the way we are managing life and surrendering to life and creating life and joining with others inside our life. So there's many other topics for us to share. But when I go through the chapters, I consider, well, the passages that introduce the subject probably the best to you. And then I mail that to you. I send that on your class invitation. But I would recommend that you go to the book itself and you read the whole chapter, because there are lots and lots of juicy passages that I didn't bring in for the very simple reason that some of them require a little more comment and extrapolation from me. And I tried to make this as much as possible contained to his voice, because that's what you come to hear. And I'm only a facilitator to help you gain a little more understanding and focus from it. So I want to start reading from this chapter, and as we get through it, I will probably point your attention to some things I think would be good to focus on. One of the most beautiful passages in the whole book, which especially that introduces adamantine particles. He said, the sharing of adamantine particles is the breath of life. Wow. That's quite a statement, if you think about it. You know, to this day, science has not defined life. medicine has not defined life. It's been described, but not defined. It's been analyzed, but not really in its particulars of how it performs, how it functions and perpetuates itself. You would think that should be the heart of medicine, or perhaps even the heart of organic science. He says sharing, and he didn't say adamantine particles are the breath of life. He said the sharing of them is the breath of life. That means we have access to them. That means they are in us, not just in composite of atoms, molecules, tissue, blood, and so forth. No, we're breathing them. They're here. We actually do have them. I wish I had, in the early days, I wish I had taken photographs of some of the plants I studied. In the early days after I was with him, I bought kind of a primitive, I don't know what you call it. I don't know what they sold it as, but anyway, kind of like a primitive lie detector. You can tell when something or someone is responding, positively or negatively to energy, or in an agitated way to energy. And I would hook that up with little clips that I got with it, wires and clips, and I would speak words to it. And it actually did show up on the meter. It really did. It was exciting to me. And one day, when I was being very excited by it, I had I had a camera with me. And the reason I don't still have those pictures is that was before the time of cell phone cameras. I had a very good camera because I had to do some skillful photography to support my artistic creations. So it was good. I think it was a Nikon. And I knew how to set the exposures to get the kind of light I wanted. So I was good at using it. And I decided to take some pictures. And I actually saw in those pictures little radiant particles around the plant that I was talking to. Of course, it was in the, I have to admit, it was in the dew time, the early morning dew, with sunlight passing through. So I gave it the best chance possible of being exposed. But I didn't do anything with it. But I could see there was something coming off of that plant. And it wasn't just responding to me. In one occasion, I lit a candle, and I held the candle up close to one of the leaves, and the meter went berserk. It actually did. It went berserk. It was just bouncing from one side to the other. I pulled the candle away, and it calmed down. And I felt this little sigh of relief from that plant. So do they sense energy? Do they share it and breathe it? Yes, they do. All of life does. And I have noticed this even in rocks. We used to have a crystal store in Sedona. I would go in and feel different rocks that were in there and how they united with my body and my spirit. And it was really quite amazing because some of it was just like nothing. And others repelled me. Like, I had to put them down instantly. And then there were some that just basically said, come and adopt me. I love you. So we are responding to these energies, and they're there. What we can say more about this is yet to be determined. But I do have a couple more anecdotes I want to get into before I read to you. One is that when Yeshua first told me about the adamantine particles, I looked in the dictionary to see if I could find adamantine. Well, I couldn't. I looked in another dictionary. I looked in the encyclopedia. These were in the days before the internet. I was, I went to Encyclopedia Britannica, which I owned in those days, but I wouldn't bother today because I've got so many other resources for reference. Anyway, couldn't find it. Now, adamant was there, yes, because adamant means firm and deliberate, precise, and demanding. I think maybe there were a couple more alternate definitions for it. But anyway, adamant was there, but not adamantine. So I thought, well, maybe he just invented a word. I'll go with it. That's what he said. I'll use it. Now, in the years that came ahead, I would have people call me or write me and ask me where they could find a definition of adamantine. And I would say, well, the best one I know is love without end. You know, I don't know if you can find it somewhere else because I think it's a pretty new word. But I didn't agonize over it, you know. And now you can find, you can search in Google under adamantine and you'll find it. It doesn't give a very clear definition, but it's there. And it will make references to places where it was used. But what really strikes me as a significant leap forward is it's now in Google spell check. I noticed that when I was writing this excerpt last night from Love Without End, I accidentally misspelled adamantine. And spell check put a broken line underneath it. And I thought, what in the world? I didn't want to change it. I wanted to see. They gave me a correct spelling for adamantine. So it's now even in Google spell check. This shows the importance of getting even a tiny, recognizable piece of truth distributed. It's going to spread like crazy. And it is spreading. And one more. I haven't kept up with it for years, but it's one more piece of the of confirmation about what seems like a strange particle. And that is that shortly after I released the recordings of Conversations with Jesus, before there was a book, but there were the recordings, I got a call from a good friend of mine who was an ex-Catholic priest. And he lived in Austin. He was a real fan of this book. And he had a pretty special circle of friends, because he was highly respected in many areas. And among his friends was Dr. Hal Puthoff, who was the director of advanced studies at the University of Texas. An equivalent to that would have been at Princeton. Einstein was director of advanced studies at Princeton. Advanced studies almost exclusively focuses upon the world beyond, the quantum field, quantum physics, and beyond that. Dr. Puthoff had been contracted by a number of corporations to research the potential for magnetic energy in the quantum field, coming from the quantum field. And from some of the things that Yeshua had said to me, he felt that there might be a clue. There might even be an answer. And he asked his friends to request an appointment with me. They, of course, I granted the appointment. They drove from Austin to Fort Worth to have a whole afternoon of time spent with me asking, what did Yeshua say about magnetism in the quantum field? And he wanted to know if he had said anything I did not put in those tapes. And I said, well, yes, I did. Yes, he did. I just didn't put them in the tapes because, A, I didn't fully understand them. And B, I didn't think anybody else would be looking for them. And he said, well, you found somebody who is. And he explained what he was doing, what he was creating. So one of the top nuclear physicists in the world came to interview me about what did Yeshua say about the adamantine particles. And one of the key elements, one of the key takeaways was something I'm going to read to you in just a minute, but I'm going to preface it so that you'll recognize it when I get there, is that there's so much search and research in physics still to find the smallest, most basic original particle. And what is it? And how does it work? And actually, they have kept producing, well, when I say producing, they produce evidence that suggests they found it. You can't always see the, even with the finest electron microscopes, you can't always see these particles, partly because they change the minute you have contact with them. In other words, your perception of them changes them in their engagement with reality. So it's very hard to pin it down. But they have postulated existence of tinier and tinier particles. And each one so far has been abandoned as not it. And the reason it's not it is because they have a dependency on something else. In other words, they're not self-creating. Yeshua said the adamantine particles are self-creating. That's probably why and how they can create life. Life doesn't draw upon its right to live from something else. It self-creates. And at this point, we don't yet understand that scientifically. So let's get started. Do I need to get started? Yes, I think so. There may be other things I remember I need to say, but I think you can already see we couldn't have plunged in on this subject. We had to build up to this. This is highly important. Highly, highly important. Oh, yeah. Oh, one thing I did want to say. It's been wondered through the century about the Shroud of Turin. How did it get imprinted on that cloth? Well, probably the adamantine particles that made up his body imprinted it on the cloth as he left them, as he died, literally finished his death in the tomb. Or call them back to him. Not sure which, but anyway. The adamantine particles would have left. They would have had the power to leave that imprint. And do we work with them? Yes, we do. And we'll talk about that more in our, we'll go in phase two and phase three of this chapter. We'll talk about how we can use them. But let's get started. We're overdue for me reading. I love this chapter so much. It just sparks my life juices and creativity. But, okay, continuing. Jesus said, there's an ongoing exchange of these particles throughout existence. They not only comprise organic life, but also the planet, the wind, and every substance that is. Everything breathes for the whole of its duration, inhaling and exhaling. These particles bring vital balance and connections to life. To one who is attuned, an illness is clearly revealed through irregularities in the breath of life. In the presence of love, a natural rebalance occurs. This is how the laying on of hands can help to restore health to another. Such is the power of healing touch, or even a simple hug. My curiosity grew with his encouragement, and my thirst for knowledge came alive. I wanted to know more in detail. What are the adamantine particles? He replied, they are the fundamental building blocks of physical existence, particularized energy potentials, which activate, unify, and give form to infinity. As points, they are irreducible, indivisible, and generic, and their very existence establishes dimension. Between one point and another, there is dimension. The dynamic of energy exists through rhythmic activation and repetition of these patterns. Matter is formulated as these patterns and rhythms become more complex and specialized. I thought back to my college physics and remembered that light can be both a particle and a wave. In that same way, he described the adamantine particles as having a simultaneous capacity to create a point, energy, and mass. He continued, adamantine particles are the only particles that actually create mass. Simply put, they are the primary emanation points where energy and mass are the same. The matrix from which they spring is the continuous substance of undefined potential, which is the immanent and undivided presence of the One Spirit. So from another perspective, adamantine particles may be described as the ultimate points which manifest and give evidence of infinity, thus activating its potential and making possible all manifest form. I was puzzled, however, and I asked, how could infinity be delimited? How could it be integrated with known elements without limiting it? That seemed like a contradiction in terms. But he further stated, I'm sure it seems that way, considering the assumptions you're using to explain physical existence. The physical universe, as you know it, comprises less than 1% of all that is. The law of conservation is directed to explaining that 1%, nothing more. The law of conservation is directed to explaining only the physical. All right. Most scientific theories and general assumptions interpret energy as force, combustion, and pressure waves. The concept goes something like this. Force results in pressure waves. Pressure waves create density. Density results in matter, and everything left over is infinity. Therein lies the real contradiction, he said. A leftover cannot be defined and provides no basis for understanding. As long as infinity is regarded as an indefinable leftover, how can its properties be described? How can it be used? How can it be penetrated or activated? The truth is, if there is a leftover to creation, it is the debris that comes from the physical universe you experience and measure, not its infinite supply, which surrounds and supports it with endless interdimensional possibilities. Even what you consider to be physical is detectable only because of relatively stable patterns of energy and formations of structure. And this is ever-changing because of a constant subtle flux of fresh supply and decaying configurations created from it. Adamantine particles belong to both the infinite world and to the limited realm of physical existence. They were the first light of creation. They are forever the light of consciousness. They provide the fuel and dynamic energy to propel thoughts into manifestation. They give flesh to spirits, as well as new life, beauty, nourishment, and healing to life. Because they are commanded by love and conform to the nature and will of spirit, adamantine particles belong to all dimensions. He assured me that a profound change will occur when the foundations of our understanding shift from force to attraction. Magnetic attraction explains the greater unity of existence, and it is actually magnetic cohesion that integrates interdimensional fields, which in turn support and connect all physical reality. Infinity is not the leftover. Infinity is the unifying factor that integrates everything. When man's basis of thinking changes from force to attraction, every aspect of technology will change as well. At this point, now these are his words continuing. At this point, science is still focusing on scarcities, forces, and the leftover unknown. Scarcity being that which is subject to control, force being that which is used to control it, and infinity, an infinite leftover, being that which is not understood. Looking at infinity that way simply magnifies ignorance. But that is about to change, he promised. And I ask, how will we make that transition? His reply, it will all begin with a reverent respect for the ultimate power. When that understanding is attained and activated by a sufficient number of people, the entire paradigm of humanity will be lifted above its belief in energy as force. In the face of enough love, force loses its power to to dominate consciousness. From that point on, consciousness will wake up at quantum speed. The change will be so powerful as to bring answers by the second. Until then, remember that adamantine particles respond to magnetic attraction. With regard to human potential, the heart is your magnetic center. It is through your heart that you are attracting adamantine particles, and by your love that you command them. The life course of adamantine particles, right before that, I believe I asked him a question. Yeah, I did, and I didn't insert this in this text. I should have. But I think it included some other things I didn't want to bring up yet. Basically, what I ask him is that, are the adamantine particles that make up a tree going to return and be another tree? Or will they just lie in flower bed mulch after the tree has been dead and mulched up for fertilizer or protection? And then he answered me here. The life course of adamantine particles is always directed by love. Particles, however, do have a memory and retain experience. Therefore, love, in directing the flow of life, tends to allow tendencies and preferences to beget further experiences along the same lines. This is further reinforced by the fact that adamantine particles, which have already been committed to form, are still locked up in the more complex particles of neutrons and electrons, not to mention the atomic arrangement of such elements as hydrogen and oxygen, which still persist even though the tree is now flower bed mulch. When the tree dies, the adamantine particles that comprise its life force usually go on to be another tree. Actually, this is what life is, a free and unstructured supply of adamantine particles operating under the influence of love. Life is just love in action. This is why people need to get away from stagnating routines and obligations. It is important to relax, to go on vacation, or simply to get a hobby. It's healing just to interact freely with life and to receive a fresh new supply of adamantine particles. Inhale them. Enjoy the abundance around you. And that is the closure on the quote that I typed up for you today, but I got something of my own to add to that one paragraph. It is important that you take a vacation, that you do relax. And some people I know just do it at the beach. If they went to a national park, they would just be distracted by people, maybe on alert for wild animals. They wouldn't ride a horse. But now, for me, when I was growing up, well, I grew up in the country, but mounting my horse bareback and only a halter on her. So I guided her with my knees and holding to her mane. I was close as I could be to the energy of that horse. I loved my horse, and she loved me, and we ran like the wind. When I came back, it was like I had spent a week's vacation in somebody else's happy place. For some people, it's the forest. For some people, it's hiking up a mountain. For others, it's being at a beach or sailing, actually, on the ocean. That was Larry's way of getting it. I mean, nothing did it for him like sailing. Sailing on the ocean. For some people, it's running. And for some, it's gardening. Take note of where you go and what you do that causes you to breathe deeply. In my opinion, from what I've learned from Yeshua, this is the breathing exercise you really need to be working on, more than jogging, which may actually stress you. And what if you don't like it? What if you're just exhaling vigorously out and hardly even inhaling anything because you don't like the city atmosphere? You don't like running on the pavement. You know, there's so many things. You don't like the stress in your feet. Do what you can breathe in from life. That's going to refresh you almost, well, as much as anything else. And then if you want to do something physically aerobic too, well, you'll do it better after you bring in more energy first. So that's how I tie this in, with just using this knowledge in a practical, beneficial way to you. Oh, and I do want to add on to that a piece of wonderful, wonderful news. Those who are regulars in the community know that I have been asking for special prayers and blessings for Bishop Dale, who was diagnosed with malignant lymphoma. And he was undergoing treatment in the hospital for a while and feeling like death warmed over and not giving up, still doing his best, praying, offering blessings, getting outside, walking, being with life, all the things that we need to do to just make our life function the best it can. He went back to his oncologist, I think it was last Monday. And his latest report from the oncologist is, your lymphoma has disappeared. It's gone. It's not even there. Either we misdiagnosed it, or it just got up and left town. He said, you mean I didn't go in remission? No, it's gone. And, of course, when he told me, I said, well, you know, we are in the miracle business. What else did you expect? So another thing I want to tie in with that and our message today is that you do command the adamantine particles, but sometimes we run out of an extra supply of them, especially if we have injured ourselves or if we've heard bad news about our health, or some part of our health, or we've lost a loved one. Maybe we've lost a job. Maybe we've lost a home. We're going to be in short supply for adamantine particles. Now, they're everywhere. They're infinite and abundant, but if we don't breathe them in, we don't have them to use. And we tend to stop breathing. I don't mean just oxygen. You've heard the phrase, the old phrase, it took my breath away. Well, I was so shocked I couldn't breathe. I heard the news and I fainted. I just fainted away. Couldn't breathe. It caused me to hyperventilate. Think about all the phrases we've made where we have lost breath. And it was all because we were debilitated in some condition. And the way we came back is we modified and gave some degree of control and importance to getting our breath back. Maybe we would go to a window or step outside if we could. sit on the porch and just do some deep, full, rich breathing. But it's not just oxygen we need, or the gaseous breath, because oxygen is actually commingled with other gases. But we need to be breathing the breath of life. That's what we offer in the blessing, is the breath of life. And we call it forth as blessing givers, magnetically. And this message would go specifically to the blessing givers. This is why we cultivate the magnetic field around our body and clean it out and clean it away from other things we might have attracted to ourselves that are not so beneficial, so that our magnetic field is bright and active. You, anyone, can accomplish this in prayer, in meditation. And another great way simply is sleep. Get enough sleep. This is why you feel so refreshed and bright in the morning. It's not because you ran 10 miles. It's because your body had a chance to refuel with adamantine particles. You're bright and refreshed. And even those sleepless hours you spent resting or maybe facilitating with some prescription drug, you didn't get life back in yourself. You've got to get the spirit of life back in yourself. It is life you breathe. We can get that so beautifully also from our pets. They have life to give us. We can get it from our plants. And call out your home from old things that no longer give you life. They do actually lose. They lose energy over the years. Some antiques never lose their energy because they were so beautiful in the beginning. They attracted energy for their preservation. And through the years, they have been so appreciated that the energy keeps building. So yes, there are beautiful, exquisite works of art, antique creations that are filled with life. You can touch them sometimes and almost feel the electricity flow from them to your hand. Or hold your hand just a short way away so you activate the magnetic field. And sometimes it knocks me off my feet. It's so incredible. So amazingly incredible. I don't know if I've told you this story, but years ago, in the early 80s, I was contracted by one of the top art publishers in the world. That was Bruce McGaugh Graphics. And he set me up with a studio in New York so that I could create original works of art that would be exclusively copywritten for them. Okay, that's not really the story. That's just the background. But during those days, I had the privilege of attending. I think it was the only, although it did travel to Chicago, but it was the only show in the United States of the major works, all the major works of the Impressionist painters. They were housed in the Metropolitan Museum for a period of time. I think it was about a month, and it covered the whole month that I was in my studio there in that year. And I would get, of course, I didn't have a car. Very few people drive cars in Manhattan. I would get a taxi or the bus. On my budget, it was usually the bus. And I would go, if I had time left over every day, to the Met. And when I stood on the base stairs and I started to walk up, I felt my body levitate. I not physically, literally an inch off the pavement, but I never felt the weight of my body going up those stairs. I never had to push off from one stair to the next. I actually ran up the stairs, almost flying. I went through the doors, and then I halted before entering the first main gallery, because there was a burst of spiritual energy, unlike any, I think, well, I had ever felt up to that point. And of course, at that point, I had never heard about adamantine particles. I was totally into being the artist that I was at that time. It knocked me off my feet. I mean, really, I almost fell. I went into the room, and I didn't know at the time how to explain it, but it was a powerful elevation of serotonin. Like, I had just had a baby, or something wonderful had just amazingly happened to me. I landed in paradise. It was a feeling hard to describe. I was not just looking at paintings. I was looking at the life from which they were created. And I will never forget that, because I reactivate that experience anytime I go into deep meditation with the thought of art being a theme for my meditation. That's how I launch it. There's nothing like that. I've been in many great museums in my life, but entering that room with those paintings painted with such freedom, light, beauty, color, and love of life that existed in France at that time in history was remarkable. Okay, so my life was changed by that. It more than even having the contract in New York. That was the highlight right there. And I guess in some ways it prepared me later on for receiving the presence of the first light from which I would paint Yeshua. That's it for now. From the reading, we need to get ready for our blessing. Nancy, do we have people on call?
We do. I'm going to open them up and let's see. We've got Elizabeth here today. Hi, Elizabeth. It's been a while. So nice to hear from you.
Yes, it has been a while. I just have a blessing for all that's going on with the ceasefire and swapping of hostages in the Gaza Strip. Just, I don't know what to ask for. Yeshua knows. Just prayers for everybody who's running that, and may it be the bringer of peace, that this may be a step forward into peace for the Middle East. And that's all I'll say, because Yeshua knows what is needed.
Of course.
And just a prayer for a friend of my sister. Her name is Pat Kardash. She's in the hospital with pneumonia, and she totaled her car and got a big bruise from the thing that, you know, the steering wheel thing that erupts when you have an accident. So she just needs some healing prayers. Her name is Pat. And I've just come down with, I'm just releasing old junk in my body. And if Yeshua could just give me a little boost to, it's coming out, it's nothing serious, but if I could just get a little boost to get it out to help me take in more light and love, so I can put that out. And to thank you for these wonderful Sundays. I feel like I'm going to university, because some of the things you say in a reading, Glenda, it's just like, oh my God, you know, just bursts of knowledge, and I'm going back and listening to them again, because you don't get it all, you know,
in
one hit, because you just sometimes you'll say something and I'll stay with it for 5 minutes because it was so profound. Anyway, I won't go on, but thank you so much for that. And it's just it's wonderful. So thank you for these blessings, and please, both of you, keep well, and let's just put out the love everywhere, all over the planet, because that's what's going to do it. Just let's all be in love.
That's what'll do it. Let's put life out everywhere.
Yes.
I think we need to be putting life out.
Yes, that's exactly.
Exactly.
And, exactly. Yes.
Our prayers for peace in the Middle East will help a lot.
Yes.
Because it's disturbing the force of life on our own planet, on our whole planet, in addition to the people there who are suffering.
Yes,
so
exactly.
Anytime you see a person suffer, pray for them, but also pray for all who may be disturbed and affected by it.
Right.
Because
we
don't live alone, my friends. We don't.
No.
And I hope that, I hope you saw why this chapter had to come later, after love and the one spirit, because it talks about our connectivity in a very real way. Just as we breathe in and out oxygen and, carbon dioxide, well, we also breathe in and out life.
Yes, indeed.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Thank you so much.
Thank
and I'm
you,
here
Elizabeth.
Every week. I just haven't been on the call because I've been sending in prayers on the emails, askaprayer.com. I've been doing it that way, but I've been here every week. I just haven't.
Yeah, of course,
but I just missed talking to you, and just today I felt moved to just ask because it's a very vital day today.
Yeah. And this is open for anybody. It prevents traffic jams to have the opportunity to send emails, and I do read them all.
Yes, and what you're talking about is...
The other good thing about having them is I don't pray just once.
No, you said you're praying throughout the week as well.
Yes, I have a whole folder of emails that I flip through. So.
Yeah. Thank you, Glenda.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
You're
so glad you're
Nancy.
Here. I'm going to open up Caroline's line. Hi, Caroline. Or no,
hi. So nice. Yes, it's so nice to be back on. I was with my sister who came to visit from London to Hawaii. She is in a pretty terrible state. She just isn't getting over the death of her husband of 48 years. That was back in the end of August he died, and everything, she reminds her of him, and he's sort of getting, you know, traffic tickets that she never got before. She, you know, mired in paperwork, having a major argument over financial stuff with her oldest son that's been simmering for decades, really. So she's really not in a good state. She's not a very spiritual person. She doesn't meditate. She doesn't believe in life after death. She's sort of, you know, not really into anything spiritual, but she really needs help because she's suffering mightily. So that's the first of three blessings I'd like to ask for today.
Good.
Yeah,
good.
Her name is Josie. And then the next blessing is also just on an individual level. It's my... my honey is he's trying to create an amazing thing here to help people in the West Maui area, but it's just been a nightmare doing all the construction, and he keeps coming up with one problem. As soon as you dig one hole, you find more problems down there, you know what I mean? So electricity, plumbing, all of that kind of stuff. So because he's really trying to do something good for the area, and he's not doing this to make money or anything like that, I just would like Jeshua to help him have a smooth ride to to completing this project that he's doing. Joshua knows all the details.
Oh, that's great. We will. We'll hold it. We'll just put our love around him. Okay?
Yes. Yes. And he's a very kind person. He loves to help people. So that's really why he's
What's
doing
his name? What's his name?
Steve. His name is Steve. He's much loved in the area because he was helping with food for the homeless and all of that when we had these awful fires in Lahaina. And that leads into the last prayer and blessing I would like is for all the people in California who are having a very similar experience, but probably much worse because it's a much bigger area, the people in Southern California who are dealing with the fires and displacement and all kinds of problems that have arisen from that. So they really need to be in our prayers too. So those are the three blessings that I would like to request today. And also a blessing for your book, because I know that's in process. And it always takes longer than you expect. That's how books work.
Yes,
I know that from my experience. A blessing for that to be to come through when the time is right for it to come through.
Well, it's coming through right now, Caroline. I will have the final revision, not the final editing, but the final revision finished tomorrow. And then, I have a goal to get it done before I have a birthday coming up,
February. 80th. You'll be 80 on, is it the 4th of February?
The 4th of February.
Yeah, it's a big one.
My God.
And I am wanting to bless it with this book. So, I'm working, in my best place, best state of spirit and mind, to be there and make all the revisions that are necessary. I'm at the point now, you see, the thing is, when you write a book or even an article or even an email, you're writing it from your perspective of what you want to say. Then you've got to detach after a while and read it from the viewpoint of the reader. Did you say it well? Is it even comprehensible? And with the kind of books that I write, that's a big job because, the books I write are not Hallmark cards.
Wow.
So I'm getting a revision. The revision will be finished tomorrow, and then Nancy is going to receive it to comb it out with a fine-tooth comb.
I'm excited.
And then,
it's really, yep.
And then you'll get to read it again, Carolyn. And you've been a great help. Thank you so much for that.
Yes.
Well, I look forward to that. That's going to be a real treat.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm hoping to be able to announce it to the public, to the world, before or for my birthday. So I've got that timeline in my mind. But you never know. God has his own timing, and it'll come out when he's ready.
Well, that's great.
It'll be the perfect
It'll be perfect. That's why it's Godspeed, right?
Godspeed.
Yeah, Godspeed. And looked at the clock. Stormy, our blessings are with you, and I'm sorry we couldn't open your call, but we have to move into our blessing. So be here with us in our blessing, Stormy, and we will remember you. Okay? Everybody, I want you to get moving, doing whatever you can do. If it's only wiggling your toes, put your attention on movement, because we want the blood to flow through your body well, strongly, freely. We want your breath to be strong and ample. We want the spirit of life in you to move through you and envision it coming around you like a blanket of light. so that you are the embodiment of life, which is actually the truth. You are the embodiment of light, of life that has been specially created for you, the soul, to wear for so many years and for the duration of those years to the fullest you can live and in all the ways you choose for your discovery, your development, and becoming everything you can be. So, let's also add to the blessing today for everybody that the messages from Yeshua that came to you shall fill your being with understanding and grace, that those messages don't just linger in your mind trying to figure them out or sort them out, but they literally become a way of life for you. And that he lifts you into the highest way of life that you're ready to be in right now, where a lot of your troubles will just fade away. They just won't exist anymore. And you'll wonder, well, where did that go? Like the doctor told Dale, well, either you never had it or it went away. Miracles happen every day, everywhere, even in your own environment where you don't notice it. As Albert Einstein once said, he said, you just really got two choices about life. One is everything is a miracle, or nothing is a miracle. And the choice you make will greatly determine the quality of your life. I think when you make that choice, the miracles become more developed and conspicuous and productive, but that doesn't mean that small miracles did not lie behind them, making a trail for a new and greater parade of miracles to come forth. A lot of things happen in life because we allow them to happen. We drop our boundaries. We relax our defenses. And we take a deep breath of life. And then life transforms our being. So, everybody, let's stand, okay? If you didn't stand before, let's stand now. And extend your walk just a little bit, if only a few steps, so that you're moving those legs. And now shift one leg out to the side a little bit, and then forward, and then back. Okay? The other one out to the side, forward, and then back. Now, extend your arms as far as you can. And then up so that you have a good stretch. That will bring a good stretch onto your rib cage and your back. And now lower your arms. Bend forward just a little bit so you stretch your back. And now lean back just a little bit so you stretch your rib cage in front. Take a really deep breath and hold it for 2 seconds and blow it out. Take another deep, deep breath and blow it out. Now sit down. I'd like you to be seated during this blessing because when you're seated, your feet are on the ground. You will be drawing energy up from the earth. If you think the earth doesn't have energy to give, just look at pictures of a tsunami. Just look at pictures of the fires we just had in California or Lahaina. or the hurricane that hit in Virginia. The earthquakes that have happened around the world. If you think the earth doesn't have energy to give, rethink that right now. And also, the earth loves you. The earth is not pulling out from under your feet. It's supporting your feet. And it's attaching your feet to her with a gentle hug of gravity. So now just be there seated. Allow your feet to draw up energy. And I'd like your head to be uncovered so that you can draw down energy from the higher atmosphere that collects energy from the solar system and the galaxy. You have no idea where this energy comes from, because only in the physical domain are we separated so far from the sun or Polaris or whatever other galaxy or planet you want to think about. Yes, we are distances from it in the material universe. In the quantum field, it's closer than your breath. And so, yes, you can pull in energy from anywhere because you have been given that capacity. Head uncovered. Feet on the ground. But no running shoes. We don't want the heavy polymers to interfere with the energy of the earth coming through to you. Just natural substance, whatever that might be. Socks or leather shoes or nothing. Barefoot would be great. And now, in prayer, we want to join with Yeshua and have us be with him. Have him be with us. As it said in the scriptures, wherever two or more of you are joined in my name, I am there. Invite him. He loves to be invited. He loves to be loved. He loves you mightily. But you know, he loves to be loved too. Invite him. Thank him. And it delights him when you ask for something. So don't be bashful. Ask him. Ask him for what you need. But we're going to start with my prayer to him. Because I become the voice for all of us. And then the blessing givers and I will conduct this special energy that unites us through the Holy Spirit, the grace of God, and the love of Christ. Dear Yeshua, our brother, our Lord, Commander of life, we ask that you be with us. We know you are, but we would like to feel you. We'd like to feel your presence, your beauty, your grace, your love, your magnificence. So amazing. We ask for your help. We know the things that should be improved in our life. And we're very sorry that we haven't done a better job of getting some of these problems handled. But sometimes we didn't even know what they were. Other times we thought they were too much for us to make a difference. And other times we didn't know if it mattered. The whole subject was just too big. So we ask your forgiveness that we have not done as well as we could have. But we know with your help, we can change this world. We can renovate the problem. We can build back in better forms and better structures, better solutions for the future. We can love one another more fully and completely than we have. We can forgive, and we can create. We ask that you be our partner in recovering these abilities that have been dormant inside us, for we need to apply them in a hearty and manifest way in life to make a difference. We thank you for doing what we cannot do. Please feed the children everywhere. Please take our prayers and fill our prayers with your love, grace, and power to put food on their plates and protect them. Love them and guide them. We pray forgiveness for those who have hurt us. It doesn't matter whether it was intentional or unintentional. The hurt was real. But let them be healed. For in giving them healing, our hurt will disappear. Just as you forgave all of humanity when you hung in pain on the cross. Let us strive to have the same magnanimity of spirit, that we can be more than we thought we were. Thank you for your support in my life. It has been a wonderful life. Thank you for giving me a way to share my experiences with you to others. I thank you for this congregation of people that so embrace my life with love and appreciation, with beauty and dynamics of hope and faith. I ask that your grace fall upon each one of them, that their prayers be answered and their lives be fulfilled in every way that is now possible. And we ask all of these things in your precious name. Amen. Blessing givers, will you join me now in offering the blessing?
Amen. Amen. And amen. Your blessing has been given. Now continue receiving. Start by lying down. Find something flat. Your bed, your sofa, your floor, a mat, anything where you can lay out horizontally and just soak it all in every place, body, heart, soul, and being. Take it all in without resistance or boundary. And let it provide the blessings of God according to the will of God. Bye-bye for now. And I look forward to being with you again next week.